Good morning, church. I am so glad to see each one of you. And I can see that you are all looking good. You are all looking good, qualified people to heaven already. This morning, I'm going to handle the passage, John chapter 3, where you will find the 16. And you also find Nicodemus. So it's a quite loaded and well-known passage. But I'm happy because I am with you people who are born-again Christians. I'm not alone. We are together. When I was passing, was it last week in Zingalume, I saw a church. It was written, Born Again Christians. That's the name of the church. So I wondered, if you to ask any member from that church, are you a born again Christian? Then you'll say, yes. And why? Why you are born again? Then the reason he will give, or the reason she will give, is because I belong to a born again Christian church. And to them, it is a qualification already because of the name which they named the church. And this morning, it is the same passage that we are going to handle. Most Christ Jesus, he's emphasizing, revealing much about being born again Christian. But I also want us to see at which ground Nicodemus went to visit Jesus Christ. Of course, you see that in chapter 2 of this 11, Christ performed the first sign or the miracle by changing water into wine. And what was the result from there is that the disciples believed in Christ. Not only that, you also see in chapter 2, verse 18, when Jesus Christ was clearing the temple, and then the Jews demanded to know the authority that Christ was using to clear the temple. Later on in verse 22, what you see is that the believers, the disciples, they believed in Christ. So now when you bring all those things together, clearing the temple, people, they are following Christ, they are believing in him, then a certain group, so-called the Jewish council, they were not happy with that because there was chaos and commotion because of what Christ has been doing. People, they are following Christ, they are believing in him, and then he is clearing the temple. And yet, the so-called the leaders, they are not aware, and they have been asking questions themselves, where is he getting the authority from? It is all these things that probably led Nicodemus to follow Jesus Christ at night, so that maybe he can find out more about who Jesus Christ is. And why he has been doing all these things. I'm sure Nicodemus, he was not representing himself, but also he was representing the fellow council members. I am not going to talk much from this one all the way to 21. My passage will focus much from this 14 up to 21. Shall we look to God in prayer? Lord, thank you so very much. The morning you have given us, and you have allowed us to meet once again, to worship you, to praise you, to lift your name up, and above all, to hear your word. Father, I pray for all the members who are here seated, that Lord, you will help them to hear the word of God, to capture it and put it into practice. And I also pray that as I am standing before your people, Lord, may you help me to bring the clarity of your word and to point people to Christ, and not only to preach from my mind, from what I know, but to preach from the passage you have given us this morning. It is in the name of our Lord Christ we ask. Amen. Nicodemus, he went to Christ at night. He said a very important thing, statement in chapter 3, verse 3. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." So the first thing that we see that Nicodemus is confessing, and it is very true, is that Christ, he came from heaven. Because he did things that they could not manage to do. And later on, there was a confirmation indeed that even Christ himself, there was a confirmation. No one has ever gone to heaven except the one who came from heaven. And that is the Son of Man. Nicodemus was very brave. And that braveness of Nicodemus, it is what we all have to follow Christ. And this morning, I have entitled my message, "Believe in Jesus Christ for the New Birth, or Be Condemned." Believe in Jesus Christ for the New Birth, or Be Condemned. That is the title of my sermon this morning. I'm going to share 2 points, but of course each point have titles to support the point. And the first point that I'm going to share with you is the basis for the new birth. The basis for the new birth, coming from verse 14 all the way to 18. You know, the word basis, it means the groundwork, the fundamental principles that has already laid down for you to be a born-again Christian. It is not something that I myself I can do. No, it is something that has already been done. The foundation has been done for us. Do you want to be a born-again Christian? Yes, it is possible for you to be born again. It is possible for me to be born again in truth. Why? Because the foundation has already been laid. The fundamental principles where your new birth will stand has been laid. And how, what do I mean by that? The basis for the new birth, there is, of course, the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. The sacrifice of Christ Jesus. And what we see clearly in verse 14, it is even an allusion from the Numbers 21, from verse 4 to 10. It is Jesus compares his effectual crucifixion to Moses lifting up of the serpent. Remember that at that time people were stubborn. They were very stubborn. They murmured against Moses as well as against God. Then God was not happy with that. So God has to provide venomous snakes so that this venomous snake can start killing them as something that we can call it the punishment. Now, later on, they murmured again, and this time around in a polite way, because they saw that their friends, other people, were dying. And it was like a judgment. God was not happy because of their murmuring. And that venomous snake which God provided, now they started being killed just like that because of their stubbornness. Later on, then in a polite way, they asked God if God can forgive them. And this is what we see, that the same snake God provided again, so that whoever will look at that pole where the snake is hung on, that person will surely be saved. And those who are not going to look upon the snake, then they will surely die. But one thing that I am learning from there, and that I am communicating with you, that God used poisonous snake to punish the people of their unbelief. They couldn't believe. They complained. Just as the Israelites were healed of their sickness. So all the believers today can be saved from the sickness of what sin. Now, here is the snake being lifted up, and people, they see the snake, they were healed. But what about you and I today? Do we still have that snake? Do we need to go in the wilderness so that we can lift up that snake? Do we still need to go and buy a snake so that if I look at that snake, I can be healed? No. Today, we have Jesus Christ, who was crucified, so that we can look to that cross, the Jesus Christ, and all that he has done. Christ is indeed the one who provides the healing to each one of us today. It is not necessarily getting a snake or buying a snake. We have Jesus Christ, whom was crucified on that cross. He died so that you and I now, we can look to Jesus Christ for our sickness. And what is that sickness? The sickness that we are struggling over, it is the sickness of sin. And the only solution that sickness can be taken away from us is by looking at Jesus Christ and that which he has done. Chapter 15, verse 15. Look at what is said there. That everyone who believes may have eternal life. So we can see now the benefit of believing. Everyone who believes, it is coming from this verse 14, where it says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be what? Lifted up. Why is going to be lifted up? So that everyone who believes may have eternal life. Everyone who believes may have eternal life. Do you want this eternal life? Yes, it is possible, but it's something that you cannot do or you cannot buy. It is something that it is not about my level of education, my qualifications, the life that I'm living a good life. No, it is something that I must do, what I must believe in Christ Jesus. Remember, I said that the ground has already been laid for us. We believe in Jesus Christ and all that he has done. The result will be very simple, is that you and I, we are going to have this eternal life. So people would be saved from perishing by believing in Jesus Christ. Do you want to be perished? Then do not believe in Jesus Christ. But do you want to be saved? Believe in Jesus Christ. Because here, this is what we are taught, so that everyone may have eternal life. Believe in Christ for your eternal life. The next point that's supporting my first point, the basis for the new birth, I said the first one was the sacrifice of Christ, that he died, he resurrected. We'll talk much about that later on. The second sub-point that's supporting my first point is that the love of God. Now, the love of God is coming from verse 16. You know, verse 16 is a well-known verse. I remember when I was reading a certain book, I came across with the word of Martin Luther. The comment he said about 16, he called this passage, this verse, as a little Bible. If all the chapters, all the books in the Bible are not there, we only have John 3:16, then you and I, we have enough. That is what he said, and I saw it to say it is very true. Because here in verse 16, listen to what you can check with me. For God so loved the world. And there's a word love, that's a past tense. For God so loved the world that he gave his only and only son. But why he gave his only son? That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now from here we can see that the aim of God is not to punish us. It's not we people to be condemned, no. But at the end, to have the eternal life and to enjoy the eternal life offered by God himself. So belief might have everlasting life. God has already demonstrated his love for us. The love has been shown. He has given his only son so that you and I, we can believe in that son, Jesus Christ. And out of believing in him, then the eternal life is granted to us. That is what we see in verse 16. God does not want anyone to perish or to be condemned. No. But to see everyone be what he saved. In fact, you can even see from the 16b up to 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through what he, him. So God's love for man, is what makes Christ's sacrifice and the new birth possible for us. I am going to repeat that statement so that we get it. God's love for man is what makes Christ's sacrifice and the new birth possible. We are coming from listening from the great preachers Paul Kayumba and Michael. From the book of 1 John chapter 4, 9 to 10, God sent his son into this world so that we might live through him. Not living by ourselves, no, but living through Christ. We are in Christ. So even in whatever we do, we must do it in Christ. Because the son was offered. The gift was given to us. And the aim was not to condemn you and I. But the aim was everyone can be saved and can have the eternal life. My third point to support my first point and the last one is the faith of man. Now those who believe in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. Now, you see, when you're talking about the cross, there's a church that I know, they are so much good when they see the cross, they just do like this. When they see the cross, they just do like this. It is very simple. that even everyone, even people who are not born again, who do not believe in Christ, it's very easy just to go where there's a cross, just to do like this, and then you go just like this. It's very simple. Very simple. But here what you are talking about is to believe in Jesus Christ and that he has done. So the faith is only effective because we believe in what Jesus Christ has done. And what is that Jesus Christ has done? Just to remind you this morning, one, we see that he died for our sins. He has done that. He died for our sins. And not only that he died for our sins, he forgave our sins. He died in my place. Christ died in your place. Remember that we were supposed to die. In fact, we do not deserve to live. We heard a lot of sermons talking about the total depravity of man. We don't deserve to live. It is just by the grace of God. I like the book of Romans from chapter 5 is talking about now we have access to Jesus Christ because we stand in his grace. And what is that grace? He died for us. He forgave our sins. He died on my place. I was supposed to die, but he died. But it doesn't end there that he died. No. He rose from the dead. He died, and it's never ended like that. He rose. And right now, Jesus Christ, we are talking about, is seated at the right hand of God, interceding on your behalf. That's what we see. That's what we are told from the scriptures. You may have life in his name just by believing. Just by believing in Jesus Christ and all that he has done, then this life, the eternal life, the everlasting life, it is a guaranteed to you without a doubt. They will not be condemned. No one will be condemned. A believer who believes in Jesus Christ and what he has done, that person will not be condemned at all. Christ's sacrifice and God's love makes the new birth possible. Christ's sacrifice and God's love makes the new birth possible. Do you believe all these things? Yes. Your faith, your new birth, I mean, requires faith in Jesus Christ. Believe in what Jesus has done for you. The new birth requires faith in Jesus Christ. And I want you this morning to believe in Jesus Christ and what he has done. Then the new birth, it is 100% possible. This takes me to my second point. My second point is the rejection of the new birth. The rejection of the new birth. Coming from verse 19 to verse 20. Of course, those who believe in Jesus Christ and what he has done, there is no condemnation at all. But we have people who are not believing in Jesus Christ. These are the people who remain condemned for lack of faith in him. And I want to talk about two things that will support my second point. Excuse me. And one of them is many love darkness more than light. Many people love darkness more than light. Light, it is Jesus Christ. Light has come into the world. Light has come into the world. And what is that light? That light is Jesus Christ. There's another passage, of course, that I came across. I was trying to compare. Then I find out to say, indeed, that light is shining even today. The light is shining even in the darkness. So the light shines in the darkness. Jesus is the true light. That was promised. If you read John chapter 1, verse 9. Jesus is the light, came into this world. There are those who love the darkness instead because of their evil deeds. Now, I want us to read, to look on verse 19. Verse 19 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Some people believe that Jesus Christ, the coming of Jesus Christ, he came to condemn people. That's what others believe. But from the scriptures, I will say no. Christ, he never came to condemn everyone. He came to save everyone. But the reason why people think in that way, or why they are condemned because they love the darkness. They are still in the darkness, and their evil, their work, or their deed is evil. Now, because there is light which has come, they cannot come to the light. Why they cannot come to the light is because they know that they will be exposed. There are those who love the darkness instead because of their evil deeds. What they are doing, the evil they are doing, they do not want it to be exposed. So that light, the coming of Jesus Christ, was indeed to shine, and the darkness should be what? Should be exposed. Example that I can give, a very simple illustration, is in our community where we come from, there are people, we call them junks. Now, junks, they are these people who are stealing from people's pockets. They do a lot of evil, harm to people. But when you meet them, they are seated, they are smoking, they are doing all sorts of bad things. You, when you are passing, they have got nothing to do with you. They cannot even run away. They can even come trying to beat you up. The junks. But the moment a police officer passes that side, everyone will do what? He will run away. Now, why? It's because they know that the coming of police officer, he is going to expose our evil that we are doing in the what, in the community. It is the same with the people who are doing evil, who are doing bad things. They are failing to come to the light because they know that once I come to that light, I will be exposed with what I am doing. But here, we are told, we know, that the love of things of the world caused them to reject the light of Jesus Christ. The love of things of the world makes them to think as if Christ is rejecting them. But they are being rejected themselves because they are in darkness and they love the things of darkness. My second point that supports the last point, which I said, the rejection of the new birth, is many do not want to be exposed by the light. Many people, they do not want to be exposed. They know that coming to Jesus will expose their evil deed. So everything exposed by the light becomes visible because the light will make those things visible. It is light that makes everything visible. It is light. unwilling to give up their evil deeds. They are unwilling to submit to the new birth, which acknowledges our sinfulness and requires repentance. Paul, in one of his letters, he said, put aside all the deeds of darkness. Put aside all the deeds of darkness, drunkenness, jealousy, envy, evil talks. Put aside all those things and clothe yourself in Christ. That's the message of Paul that he said in one of his letters. So what shall we say then this morning? Is to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ for the new birth. Let us put aside every deed of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us clothe ourselves with our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you truly a born-again Christian? Have you put aside all the deed of darkness, even here where we are? Have you done that in your life? Are you truly a born-again person? Are those things that the Bible tells us to put them aside, have we done that? Have we clothed ourselves in Jesus Christ? Have we clothed ourselves with the light, the armor of light? Have we done that? I am challenging you this morning that you and I, we should put aside all the deed of darkness. Because it's not only people. Because mostly when you're talking about sermons, when you hear about sermons, we think of people who are not coming to church, who are in bar, people who are in humanizing. But even in church, we still have people who are still doing things that are not biblical. But this morning, I am challenging you to put aside every deed of the darkness. You and I, it is high time now to believe in Jesus Christ for our new birth. So that even when you say you are a born-again person, there is no single doubt within yourself. Because you have put on Christ. You have put on the armor of light. Light has to shine. There's no way that darkness can shine where there is light. Light in you has to shine. Let people know that you are a born-again person. Not you are just the same with people who are not born again and myself. When you are together, people, they see darkness. Then I'm not a born-again person. Light should shine. When I'm in that bar, I'm passing, they should see light. Even when my family, there are wrangles, they are battling here and there, but because I'm a born-again person, they should see light. Light has come, and it has to shine. Christ, the light, came, and even now, that light, it is shining. This is what is making now people who are in darkness to run away from the light. They are condemned themselves because of the evil that they are doing. One point that I want to mention in here is that in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. In Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Come to Jesus Christ. He is not going to condemn you. He will be with you, and in Him you are saved. In Christ, you are guaranteed with the new birth and a new life in Christ. In my conclusion, Nicodemus followed Jesus Christ so that he can learn more about the Word of God. Yes, he was a member, he was not believing or what, but he went to Christ to know more. Who is this man, Jesus Christ? You and I this morning, let us be like what the brave, that courage Nicodemus had. Let me go to Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus Christ. Come to Him. Ask him a lot of questions. Christ will explain to you. Do you want this new life? Do you want this new birth? Come to Christ. Then Christ will direct you that for the new birth, this is what you are supposed to do. Remember that the ground has already been laid. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. This is what Christ said in the book of John chapter 3, verse 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. There is no now condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for your word and your guidance. We are your children. It is our prayer this morning that indeed, truly, we can be born again. We have been taught, we have been directed that the ground has been done. Christ has been sacrificed. God himself has given up his son so that your people, us, we may live in Christ. We may believe in Christ, then we may have eternal life in him. We thank you that indeed, Jesus Christ, your coming was not to condemn us, but to save us and to guarantee us that eternal life. Father, we pray that let this light that you poured unto us, that light to continue shining, that wherever we are, let people see the true light in us. Let the light shine in darkness. And that is our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.